fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, has set a 2200 GMT deadline this Friday evening for countries to submit bids to host next year's Nations Cup tournament. South Africa, which has staged the African Football Showpiece twice previously, as well as the FIFA World Cup in 2010, has officially thrown its hat in the ring again. Reporter Samson Omale has that story, as well as more African football news. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. South Africa has formally submitted a bid to replace Cameroon as host of the 2019 African Cup of Nations. South Africa Football Association spokesperson Dominic Chavai said it is now up to CAF to decide. Earlier on Thursday, Egypt said it was willing to stage the biannual African Football Showpiece after Morocco surprisingly announced it will not bid. Also showing interest is Ghana, where the Youth and Sports Minister Isaac Asiama has confirmed that Ghana is ready to host the 2019 African Cup of Nations if the Confederation of African Football settles on Ghana as host.
Ghana stands ready to host any CAF organized tournament. We are ready. Even today, if they say we should go ahead and host the Cameroon, Ghana is ready. Yeah, they will say maybe I'll become too greedy after hosting this one. And the other countries should also get it. But if they should give it to Ghana, I can tell you with all the confidence that this country stands ready to host any CAF organized tournament.
Last week, Cameroon was stripped of the right to stage the tournament, with African football body CAF citing behind the schedule preparations and security concerns. Staying with the African Cup of Nations ahead of the final round of qualifying matches for the 2019 AFCON in March, chief coach of Tanzania national team Emmanuel Amuneke says their dream of qualifying for the tournament for the first time since 1980 is still very much alive, despite the shock 1-0 defeat in Maseru, Lesotho in their last qualifying match.
When you look at the previous Nations Cup, probably maybe you find only one East African qualifier. Now, Uganda, it took them years to qualify. Kenya, now, they almost three, it took them 15 years to make it. God willing, Tanzania, 38 years will we qualify.
The draw for the Under-20 Africa Cup of Nations Niger 2019 was held on Thursday night in Niamey and was headlined by four West African teams finding themselves in the same group. The quartet of Senegal, Mali, Burkina Faso and Ghana were all drawn in Group B, dubbed the Group of Death in the 21st edition of the youth tournament. The four teams will rekindle their existing rivalry as the battle for places at the last four. Host Niger found themselves in Group A with neighbors Nigeria, with South Africa and Burundi completing the pack. Niger are debutant, while Burundi is making a return after the historic exploit in 1995. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Still with the 2019 Nations Cup, the Confederation of African Football, CAF, has said it will choose a new host on January 9th. One day earlier, on January 8th, CAF will stage its annual awards gala in Dakar, Senegal. On Friday, CAF announced the shortlists for the various awards. The big prize to be awarded is the African Player of the Year for 2018. The 2017 winner, Mohamed Salah of Egypt and Liverpool, is up for the award again, as is his Liverpool teammate, Sadio Mane of Senegal. The 2015 winner, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Gabon and Arsenal, made the short list again, as did the 2016 winner, Riyad Mahrez of Algeria and Manchester City. The six other players on the short list are Alex Iwobi of Nigeria and Arsenal, Andre Onana of Cameroon and Ajax Amsterdam, Anis Badri of Tunisia and Esperance, Dennis Onyango of Uganda and Mamelodi Sundowns, Mehdi Benatia of Morocco and Juventus, and Walid Solomon of Egypt and Al Ahly. Awards will also be presented in Dakar for Women's Player of the Year, Youth Player of the Year, Men's Coach of the Year, Women's Coach of the Year, Men's National Team of the Year, and Women's National Team of the Year. On the women's side, the three teams shortlisted are Nigeria, South Africa, and Cameroon, which will all represent Africa at the 2019 Women's World Cup in France. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, VOA's Gwen Uten will have news about the FIFA president and the possibility of a 48-team Men's World Cup in 2022. But first, this programming note from another VOA colleague, Carol Castiel.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with news about the next FIFA World Cup is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Thursday, FIFA President Gianni Infantino announced he has the support he needs to expand the 2022 Qatar World Cup to 48 teams. A year ago, FIFA voted to increase the size of the tournament starting from 2026. But since then, Infantino has mulled over the possibility of pushing the change forward to 2022, and now a majority of the national soccer federations are in favor of the early expansion. Qatar has spent billions of dollars building 8 new stadiums to host what it so far believes to be a 32-team tournament. Infantino has expressed some doubts about whether or not Qatar could manage an extra 16 teams on its own. And in a bitter dispute with the host country, neighboring Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have closed its borders and denied Qatar airspace, complicating the possibility of sharing matches in 2022. Infantino addressed those concerns in a news conference in Qatar.
Is it feasible or not? That's the question. Is it feasible to do it only in Qatar? Difficult, probably. Is it feasible to have a few games being played in neighboring countries? Well, maybe this is an option.
Infantino says he has discussed the possibility of match sharing as a diplomatic exercise with the Emir of Qatar, who was open to the idea. The expanded 2022 tournament could see extra qualifiers from all the international confederations. Infantino said even with the additional teams, FIFA is committed to playing the tournament in the original 28-day period. And even with a crowded schedule, matches would be clean and fair, thanks to the success of the video assistant referee.
VAR at the World Cup was a success story. It was successful because it helped the referees. And this is proven by facts, it's not just opinions. Without VAR, the accuracy of refereeing decisions, of correct refereeing decision, was 95%, which is already very high. 95% of the decisions of the referees were correct. thanks to VAR, this percentage has grown to 99.3% in 455 cases that we had during the World Cup.
Infantino says a decision about the expanded tournament needs to be made by March of 2019, in time for the draw for the qualifying competitions during the Northern Hemisphere's summer months. And for those who think time is running out to make such a radical change, Infantino said, quote, I've been told the decision to move the World Cup in 1998 to 32 teams from 24 in 1994 was also taken only 4 years in advance, so there's already a precedent. Some sports outlets are already predicting which teams to watch leading up to the Qatar World Cup, and expectations are high for the Super Eagles of Nigeria, not only for their fashion, but for their impressive showing at this year's Russia World Cup. In another 4 years, that young team could garner a whole lot of buzz in Qatar, and we will be watching. And tune in to the Sunny Side of Sports on Christmas Day, where we'll take a look back at the Super Eagles of Nigeria and other memorable moments from the 2018 Russia World Cup. And that ends the week. More sporty news in the coming days. Have a good weekend, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. You have a good weekend, too. And I'm looking forward to that World Cup highlight package on December 25th. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In pro boxing, Mexican star Saul Canelo Alvarez is moving up in weight Saturday night when he fights WBA super middleweight champion Rocky Fielding of Britain at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Let's listen in now to some of Canelo's pre-fight comments. He speaks in Spanish, and then we'll hear the translator.
I'm very happy to be here at Madison Square Garden.
Es un sueño más realizado en mi carrera.
It's just yet another story, another dream realized in my career.
Y en esta nueva etapa con Dizon también, estoy muy contento, muy motivado.
And this new phase in my career with Dizon, I'm very happy and I'm motivated.
Quizás muchos no le dan el crédito que se merece Rocky Fielding, pero por algo es campeón mundial.
Perhaps many don't give the credit to Rocky Fielding that he deserves, but for a reason he's a world champion.
Yo sé lo que es, sé el riesgo que tengo enfrente. Me preparé muy fuerte como siempre.
I know who he is. I've trained very hard. I know the challenge I have in front of me.
The challenge in front of Canelo, Rocky Fielding, has a professional record of 27 wins and one loss with 15 knockouts. This will be the first defense of his WBA title belt, and Rocky says it's a dream come true to fight at Madison Square Garden.
I was here 3 years ago. I was sitting right up the top there, watching the Knicks game, just dreaming one day to fight here. I've come here as a champion. That's what champions do. They win and defend it wherever they need to defend it. And this is a great opportunity, and I'm really happy to be here. And I am grateful, so thank you for the support, and see you Saturday.
On Saturday, Rocky Fielding will be facing one of the biggest stars in boxing in Canelo Alvarez. Canelo is coming off a 12-round majority decision victory 3 months ago in his world middleweight title rematch against Gennady Golovkin. Canelo Triple G 2 was held at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada, and one of the boxing fans who was ringside was Nnamdi Hollywood Moueta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2018, let's listen in again to Namdi's post-fight comments.
Sonny, I like the decision, but what surprised me was that a lot of media journalists in the press row and fight gurus said Triple G won the fight. Even the ESPN boxing analyst Dan Rafael all gave it to Triple G. That is the shocking part about it, whereby all these boxing experts that predicted that Triple G will win and still believed after the fight that Triple G won the fight. I'm shocked.
Triple G did land more punches, Namdi, but were they effective punches?
They were not effective punches, but you see, you have to also understand in the first fight, Canelo did not press the fight. He did not attack. In the second fight, Canelo had offense from the beginning. Canelo pushed Triple G back. This was the first time ever we see Triple G going back. And if you look at it, some of the rounds are very close, really. I mean, you cannot quarrel with 114, 114. 115, 113 is close. I mean, I think a lot of people scored it the other way around.
Could it have been another draw between these two gladiators?
If it was a draw, I think a lot of people would have been very, very happy. The Canelo fans will not be happy. The Triple G fans will take it and move on. But for Triple G losing the title to Canelo, a lot of his fans believe he's been robbed twice, not just the first time. This is the second robbery for Triple G.
Will there be a Canelo Triple G 3?
Well, the fans demand it. But we as boxing fans have to really be careful. These guys are not machines, Sonny. 24 hard rounds with no knockdown. They need to go and rest. They cannot just come back and do it again. Personally, for me, I would like to see them do it September 2019. Not even May 2019, September. You cannot just put these guys through serious camp, struggle to make weight and all that. I mean, for Canelo, it's okay. But for Triple G, who is 37 years old, the body cannot take it. So all these fans say, let's do it again. Let's do a rubber match. Come on, these are not machines. These are human beings. They need to take time out and come back with easy touch, easy fights in 2019. And then let's do it again fall 2019.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm talking with Namdi Hollywood Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. Namdi, you were ringside for Canelo Triple G 2. Some of your fight fans around you, LeBron James, Mark Wahlberg, the American movie star. What was the atmosphere like ringside?
T-Mobile Arena, 21,695 people, Sonny. And we were on our toes, Sonny. This was toe-to-toe, Mexican style, man. Tell me that's not fight of the year, Sonny. Show me another fight that will top this one. This was 12 rounds of action. They came to fight. Nobody walked out of that arena complaining of anybody holding or anybody backing up. It was, let's do it. Let's come forward. That's what boxing is all about. This takes me back to the 80s, the days of Marvelous Marvin Hagler, Thomas the Hitman, Sugar Ray Leonard. Those guys were really in action fight. We have not seen this kind of action fight in a long time. And to remind you, Sonny, this is the first time we see Triple G in a real fight.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And Namdi's hard-hitting boxing commentary originally aired in September on our VOA airwaves. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, reigning league most valuable player James Harden turned in an explosive all-around performance to help power the Houston Rockets past LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. The AP's Adam Spillane reports from Houston, Texas.
James Harden's 50-point night helped the Houston Rockets to a 126-111 win over the Los Angeles Lakers. Harden shot 14 of 26 from the field and 18 of 19 from the free throw line while adding 10 rebounds and 11 assists.
We've been feeling really good. I've been telling it. It doesn't look like it because our record, but like we've been feeling good at times. We've been feeling great. So we got to find a way to keep that, you know, for more than not. And these two games, we've done a great job. We got to just keep it up.
Rockets guard Chris Paul says what Harden did was special.
That's crazy. That's sick. I don't know how to say it before. Like, I ain't never had a teammate that's capable of doing that. You know what I mean? That's why, you know, he the reigning MVP, and that's tough.
17 of Harden's 50 points came in the fourth quarter, and he scored 9 straight to push a 3-point Rockets lead to 12. LeBron James led the Lakers with 29 points on 12 of 18 shooting, but the Lakers fall to 17-11. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now let's go to San Antonio, Texas, where the San Antonio Spurs spanked the visiting Los Angeles Clippers by 38 points, San Antonio's largest margin of victory this season. The AP's Roy Flores reports from San Antonio.
The San Antonio Spurs held their third consecutive opponent under 100 points and won their fourth straight with a 125-87 victory over the Los Angeles Clippers Thursday night. LaMarcus Aldridge paced the way with 27 points, Rudy Gay had 21, and DeMar DeRozan and Marco Bellinelli each added 14. The Spurs allowed just 30 points in the second half, something DeRozan said the Spurs have been keying on.
Try to go out there with every quarter by winning, by trying to limit them to 25 or less points. You know, anything under 20 is definitely big.
The Clippers, losers of 4 of their last 5, got 17 points from Tobias Harris, while Danilo Gallinari had 15.
They were better than us offensively and defensively. So in any stat, in any part of the floor, they were just better than us tonight. And they were moving the ball very well. We let them move the ball like they want to do.
Roy Flores, San Antonio.
Thanks, Roy. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In another NBA game Thursday night, the Phoenix Suns snapped a 10-game losing streak and beat the visiting Dallas Mavericks 99-89. It was only the 5th victory of the season for Phoenix, which has 24 defeats. That's the NBA's worst record. And in a game played in Mexico City, Mexico, the Orlando Magic beat the Chicago Bulls 97-91. Orlando's big center from Montenegro, Nikola Vucevic, scored 26 points, including a tie-breaking jump shot with 28 seconds left in the game. Now, the Bulls were playing in Mexico for the first time in the team's history, and they were the main attraction at Arena Ciudad de México. Most of the more than 20,000 fans who packed the arena were wearing the red and black colors of the Bulls. Many of those Mexican fans fell in love with the Chicago Bulls when Michael Jordan led the team to 6 NBA championships during the 1990s. Our Voice of America basketball fans will remember, since retiring, Michael Jordan has moved to NBA management. He's the owner of the Charlotte Hornets NBA team. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the December 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA.
On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up, dance this music.
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. Next up, a conversation with veteran national security correspondent of the New York Times, David Sanger, about his new book, The Perfect Weapon, War, Sabotage, and Fear in the Cyber Age. The Perfect Weapon recounts how great and small powers alike have slipped into a new era of constant sabotage, misinformation, and fear. That's Press Conference USA, Saturday and Sunday, on The Voice of America. Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Up next, what's behind Russia's most recent provocation of Ukraine? We'll talk with Will Pomerantz, deputy director of the Cannon Institute at the Wilson Center, and Mark Simakovsky, senior fellow at the Atlantic Council, about why Russia attacked Ukrainian ships in the Kerch Strait in late November and the implications of this brazen assault. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
We know that certain colors can influence how a food product should taste. Like when we're about to drink a yellow-colored beverage, many of us probably think we're about to taste something tart like lemonade. Penn State University researchers Molly Higgins and John Hayes wanted to find out how people learn to associate colors with tastes and whether they could be taught to link colors with completely different tastes. Over 4 sessions, the researchers got subjects to sip liquids with new colors they had specifically selected, avoiding any preconceived color taste pairings. Then the subjects were given uncolored liquids and were asked to pair each flavor with the new colors. It turns out the subjects picked the correct color taste match 59% of the time. The research will be published in the journal Food Quality and Preference. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
Nigeria is preparing for general elections in February 2019. President Muhammadu Buhari is running on an ambitious anti-corruption agenda. But opposition leader Atiku Abubakar believes the president has neglected the economy. An in-depth discussion on Nigeria's future.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
This is VOA.